a marriage tune-up. And so to make it easy for my PA guys, Sunday school, marriage tune-up part one. This morning, marriage tune-up part two. Guess what tonight will be? Marriage tune-up part three. And then Wednesday, okay, we'll stop, all right? We'll see how many we have to do. And, you know, if y'all go home this afternoon, fix everything, come home hugging each other, come back tonight hugging each other, holding hands, and looking happy, then I can preach on something else, man. We can be done with this. And so even if you fake it, it might be worth it, you know, to get me to get off this and go to something else. Ephesians chapter number 4, and look, if you will, verse number 22. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 22. The Bible says, "And that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt, according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Heavenly Father, Lord, we're going to spend some time on this, I believe, second most important relationship, Lord, that you've allowed us to have and to enjoy. Lord, thank you for the sacredness of marriage. And Lord, the Bible says that marriage is honorable in all. And Lord, we know that this is not something that man created, but something that you created. It was created by our Holy Father, and it was also defined by the Holy Scriptures. And so, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to hold this institution in reverence. It doesn't matter what the culture says. Doesn't matter what the world is modeling before our young people. Help us to be Bible-believing, Bible-practicing Christians. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Very good. A couple of things help prepare me for marriage. And I mentioned one of them in our Sunday school hour. I'm glad that our young people are in here tonight or today. I'm glad our seventh graders are here and our eighth graders are here. I'm glad that I grew up in a Bible preaching church. I'm glad that my dad preached as much as he did on the home, because whether or not you realize it, young people, a message like this is preparing you one day to have a happy marriage. And so I certainly was blessed to have the preaching of the Bible. I was also blessed to have a good Christian biblical marriage modeled before me. And let me just say a quick thank you. They're in heaven now to Bob and Donna Ross for just deciding that they were going to have a biblical marriage. And didn't mean that they had a perfect marriage, and but they had a biblical marriage. And because of that, it seems normal and natural for me to have that kind of relationship with my wife. Let me just say this. I guess I didn't have to unlearn a bunch of things from a bad example before I could start having a biblical marriage. You say, "Well, preacher, that's not my, this is number three, that's not my experience. I wasn't raised in a Bible preaching church teaching on family and teaching on marriage, and I didn't have a Bible-based marriage mentored before me." Well, let me tell you what you do have. You have the Scriptures. Amen. You have the Word of God. And, you know, folks, it's wonderful to be able to have had the preaching and teaching. It's another thing to have the example. But aren't you glad that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable? And God has put in the Bible some biblical principles that if we follow them, we can have a good, solid, biblical, scriptural, happy marriage. And so we started in Sunday school. I'm just going to read them. I can't reteach them or we'll end up running out of all of our time. But some general advice about complimenting each other every day. I just started out with some general things here. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. And say something nice. You know, some, I wanted to put beside this one, just be nice. Just be nice. Say something nice every single day. I don't mean say something nice, then 25 rotten things. I mean, why don't we just learn to be nice to each other? You know, somebody said this to me once about a couple, and I've had the same experience in our church with a couple we tried to help for years in their marriage. He said, this preacher said, I'm trying to deal with a couple, and she said, he said it's the saddest thing because the husband is the nicest guy you'd ever meet in all of your life. He's the nicest guy to everybody in church. He's the nicest guy to our young people. He's the nicest neighbor you'd ever want to live by. He's nice to everybody but his wife. And I thought to myself, isn't that kind of sad? You know, we ought to save our best kindnesses should be reserved for our spouse. We'll get there in a second. So compliment each other every day. Keep your promises. Keep your promises. Holy vows. Come on, we took holy vows when we got married. Let's just keep them. Say, preacher, that's so basic. Then why aren't people doing it? Hey, let's get back to the Bible. Number three, never say the D word. Just decide once you get married, divorce isn't an option. It's not an, you say, well, it's allowed in the scriptures. It's not commanded in the scriptures. But there's certain things that, yeah, there's one thing. And you know what? It doesn't say you have to get a divorce if that happens. Right. You know, how about just never saying the D word, just taking that off the shelf and just never making that an option. Just decide that you're going to live out your vows. How about this? Die to self. I stopped and probably spent a lot of our Sunday school time on this, and I can't do it again. But Paul said this, I die daily. And why do we have the problem with sin? And now that problem in sin is complicating relationships of all kinds. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. And I'm not over-exaggerating this or oversimplifying it when I say 98, 99% of all marriage problems is selfishness, 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 selfishness. Now, you say, preacher, are you sure that that's true? All right, I want you to police yourself. And as I'm teaching on marriage, I want you to think from time to time, today, this morning, tonight when you come back, how many times during the message you catch yourself thinking about what your spouse needs to fix instead of what you need to fix. How much your antenna goes up when I'm covering something that she needs to do or he needs to do, and how little you seem to be concerned or moved about your shortcomings. Look right up here. I'm not over-exaggerating. That is 98, 99% of the problems in any relationship. Right. Any relationship. Right. And that is this matter of selfishness. And then we went to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I think every husband ought to have it marked in your Bible. You ought to probably at least once a week go down through the quality traits of love that's listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Say, preacher, what is a definition of love? A Bible definition. Well, I only know of one Bible definition of love, but I got a whole bunch of descriptions of love. And the only definition that I've been able to find in the Bible is God is love. That's the only Bible definition I've been able to find. But I find a lot of descriptions. I can tell you how it acts. These are the quality traits of love: patient, kind, content, humble, of good behavior, selfless, peaceful, positive, joyful, truthful, strong, positive, optimistic, enduring, and faithful. Think about this. If every husband, every wife exhibited those quality traits towards each other and to each other, how could you not have a good marriage? How could you not have a good marriage? And so we already taught on that. You can go back and listen to that. But I think 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is key in making sure that we truly are showing our spouses the love that they deserve. I kind of already hit this one, but now we're going to start with new material. Number six, your best kindness should be reserved for your spouse. We read this verse this morning in our text verse there, verse number 32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Folks, listen, we're to treat everybody like that. But I think our best kindness should be reserved for our spouse. Now, again, we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And what is the second quality trait of love? It's this matter of charity, suffereth long, and is kind. Being kind to somebody doesn't cost anybody anything. It doesn't cost you one penny to be nice to the person who's trying to ring up your items at Walmart. Is there a person that does that anymore at Walmart? It doesn't hurt you a bit to be kind to yourself while you're ringing your things up at Walmart. Doesn't cost you a dime to be kind to the waitress. Well, I'll tell you what I always tell them. If I see the bottom of my coffee cup, then you're not getting a tip. Why don't you get saved? Why don't you get born again? Why don't you learn about Jesus? Good night. You ever watched a waitress? You ever just watched them trying to keep up with a bunch of people like you? Amen. God bless them. Amen. And tip them. Don't leave a gospel track and a dollar. If you're going to do that, use a Bethel Baptist Church track. Don't use a Blessed Oak Baptist Church track. Amen. Amen. That's why I carry some of the Bethels. It saves me a lot on tips. But, you know. And stop pulling your calculator out, okay? Some of you tip the way you tithe, amen? Come on. Calculator Christians, you know. Heaven forbid you might throw a little extra on somebody that's working hard. By the way, a lot of people aren't showing up to work. A lot of people don't want to work. When somebody is at work, I want to treat them well. I want to treat them right. I've gotten the habit of just saying, thank you for coming to work today. Thank you. I went through a drive-thru the other day, and a guy was hustling, and he had a line back. There was lines in the lobby there, and there was cars back there. And I pulled up to the window and watched this guy, and he's just, man, I mean, I've never seen somebody work so hard, and he's trying to get all the orders out. And he opened the window, and I had handed him a track and a tip at a fast food place. And I told him, I said, I don't even know your name, but if I was going to start a business tomorrow, I'd hire you. I said, thank you so much for working so hard. I've been watching through the... You know, folks, wouldn't that cost me? By the way, you think he might be more prone to read the track from somebody who was actually nice to him as opposed to somebody who was unkind to them? Hey, you know, let's just be... Now, listen, if I can be that way, come on, to the waitress, and I can be that way to myself when I'm checking my things out at Walmart... Don't you think I should be able to be that way for that lady right there? And so think about that. Number 7, bring a sense of humor into your marriage, okay? Bring a sense of humor into your marriage. Now, gentlemen, let's take the little chip you put on your shoulder and let's just take it off and let's put it over in the fireplace and let's burn it up and let's never put it on your shoulder again. Stop walking around with the chip on your shoulder. Stop walking around in your house just waiting and to be offended somehow, you know, micro-examining everything that's said by everybody to see if there's some second meeting. Man alive, I don't even have the energy. You got more energy than I do. I don't have the energy to do all of that. Bring a sense of humor into your marriage. Now, folks, listen, you know, let's learn to laugh. The Bible says this, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. So you say, preacher, Our marriage needs a little medical attention. Well, maybe it just needs a merry heart. Maybe it just needs somebody to go into that relationship with a merry heart. Learn to have fun. Learn to find the humor in things. And this gets me in trouble a lot of times. But because sometimes I find humor in things that probably we shouldn't be laughing about. But, you know, come on, folks. Well, yeah, but I have this going on. And I have this going on. Yeah, and you can still smile. And you can still laugh. And, hey, learn to laugh at yourself. I mean, you might as well. Everybody else is. So just learn to laugh at yourself. Get the chip off your shoulder. Enjoy life. All of us are weird. Yes, you are. No, some of you look offended. You're weird, too. You're quirky, too. Everybody's got the things that... Michael, stop pointing at your sister. What are you doing? He's on the back row pointing at Jasmine, all right? This is exactly what I'm talking about, selfishness. And I don't mean to pick on Michael. He's just quirky that way, that points at his sister. But, you know, learn to have a good time. Learn to laugh. Learn to enjoy life. And you know, don't take everything so seriously. I had a college professor that says, some of you are taking life way too seriously. You need to loosen up. You're not going to get out of this thing alive anyway, so you might as well have a good time while you're here. And so some general advice. Think about this. Now, folks, we just covered seven things. But, you know, think about this. What if we just decided we're just going to compliment each other? By the way, this works with your kids, too. You know, if all you do is ball them out for the things they do bad and you never praise them for the things they do right, you know, at some point they're going to have a broken spirit and they're going to kind of give up. And by the way, you can break your wife's spirit that way. Right. Ma'am, excuse me, you can nag your husband into misery. Right. Or you could just decide to say something nice. Find something nice to say every day. And then keep your promises. Keep your promises. Come on, you made vows. You're going to keep them. And not only that promise, but if you promise each other something, folks, listen, husbands, if you promise your wife something, first of all, don't promise it if you can't do it. And secondly, if you do, that ought to be sacred. That ought to be a big deal, okay? And so keep your promises. Never say the D word. Just think about that. If die to self, what if every day we just said, Lord, I just want to die to me, and I don't want to be part of the problem of these last perilous days. Lord, I want to love you supremely, most of all. And then I want to love my neighbors, myself. And in that group of other people, the number one person ought to get the best of my love is my wife. And so die to self. Say I love you often, but show I love you more often. You know, folks, it's one thing to say it, and I think you ought to. But it's another thing to show it. And how do you do that again? Patient, kind, content, humble, of good behavior, selfless, peaceful, positive, joyful, truthful, strong, positive, optimistic, enduring. Come on, don't quit. Endure. Faithful, be faithful. Every time you exhibit these traits to one another, you're showing your spouse how much you love them. And then your best kindness, make sure your wife or husband gets that, and then bring a sense of humor into your marriage. I don't know, that sounds like to me that'd make a pretty good marriage. If I was a kid, I think I'd be glad to live in that home. I think I'd enjoy having a mom and dad that did that for each other. Now, let me talk to you a little bit this morning, spend the rest of our time probably on this subject, and that is the matter of children. You know, you get married, and you God leads you to each other, and then you get engaged, and then the day comes and you get married, and then you have your honeymoon, and then you have that little time where it's just the two of you, and then God blesses you with children. And folks, let me just say this. Wow. First of all, when I'm going to talk about children, let me just say, first of all, this. I didn't number this one. I just added it in my notes. First of all, my advice is this. Have them. Have them. Have children, okay? Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. And so we live in a strange culture now, and this selfishness that's permeated the culture has now caused young couples to purposely, listen to what I'm saying here, purposely decide to not have children. Now, I want to stop and just do a little sidebar, a little time out here, okay? Listen, let's not be judgmental. A lot of times you don't understand the circumstances in a marriage. You know what? Somebody haven't had children yet, and you think they ought to have had one by now. Here's a little piece of godly advice. Mind your own stinking business, all right? You have no idea. They may be trying, and you're going to come and do that and say that. That's going to help them. Okay, you know who you could tell? You could tell God. Right. Sister Bonnie's done that quite a bit. She just decided here years ago that she was going to pray for our young couples to be able to have babies. And the only reason is it keeps her employed back there in the nursery. That's the only, again, selfishness. Just wants them babies to hold. But no, you know, be careful. I know of a pastor and his wife that had a child. They had one child, and she had really severe, terrible complications, and almost lost the baby and almost died herself. And then after that, she was not able, because of some of the things they had to do, she wasn't able to have children. Aren't you glad God blessed them with one before, you know, that? And they took a church, and then constantly people were coming up to them and kind of almost half balling them out for deciding that they were going to quit after having one child. Excuse me, could I say it again? Mind your own stinking business. And you know how much that hurt that lady? You know how much she wanted to have more children than just the one? And again, folks, I'm saying what I'm saying here. I'm saying this. Have them. First of all, have them. If you're able to have children, have them. Because children are inheritance of the Lord. But let's be careful in just sometimes the way we decide we're going to broadcast that message, okay? And so have children. And the Bible says this, it says, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with enemies in the gate. Now, here's the thing though, okay? You and your wife, okay, went through the courtship, got engaged, got married, just the two of you. Wow, pretty fun. And life's not real complicated. And then you have a baby and things start getting complicated. Then you have another baby. I had one guy tell me, you're not even, now I just said this about that couple, now I'm going to sound like a hypocrite, but one guy said, you're not a real parent till you have two, because if it's just one, there's only one kid to blame on everything, you know, and when you have two, you start going to investigate exactly who did do it, because they're blaming each other, and children are a blessing, but listen to me, couples, as you start a family, I will tell you this. Sometimes it's hard to stay as connected as you ought to connect. Hey, moms, you know what? You got your hands full. This mothering thing, that's a 24/7 proposition there. And you know what? Remember when you were just the two of you and no children yet. You'd wake up at 2:00 in the morning and you remembered that Dunkin' Donuts was open all night. And so you just went out and got in the car and drove to Dunkin' Donuts. Nobody's done that. Come on. Where'd you go? White Castle? I mean, don't you want to sleep when you get home? I mean, go to 3:00 in the morning, go to Dunkin' Donuts and drink coffee and eat. Don't you know why? Because you can. Well, guess what? When you have a baby, it's a little harder to pull that thing off. And I remember once we had all three of them and they were all pretty small. Man alive, we just take a small trip. We're just going to church was an event trying to get ready for it. And everybody's had to pack this and pack that, and everybody had to have their backpacks and their diaper bags. And, you know, I don't know why it took them so long. My job, of course, was set in the car and beep the horn, relentlessly beep the horn. And no, children complicate things. But they're by the way, it's a blessed complication. It's a blessed complication. Now, here's a couple things you need to keep in mind. Watch this. Kids are temporary. But your spouse is permanent. Kids are temporary. The Bible says that. It says children are an heritage of the Lord. Okay, so they're lent to us for a time to raise for His glory and for His will. That's the way this thing works. You know, okay, one of these days, I'm talking about these little ones, Daddy, that sit on your lap and tell them they're going to spend the rest of their life living with you. And as soon as mommy dies, your daughter's going to marry you. They're going to forget about that. They are going to forget about that. And they're going to do what God created them to do. That's why we're going to get to this verse. But, you know, the Bible talks about, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. Watch this. And they shall be one flesh. Now, mama, you and that child are not one flesh. But you and your husband are one flesh. You and that child is temporary, but you and your spouse are permanent, okay? And you know what? There's going to be a day where they leave and cleave to someone else and start a separate family unit, and that's right and that's good, okay? But it's good to remember that because so much of your energy and time, and folks, this is just a fact. It's a reality that you have to look at, talk about it together, and come up with a plan and work hard together, because If you don't stay connected as a married couple while you're raising those children, one of these days, those kids are all going to be gone out of the house, and it's going to get back to the way that it started in the first place, and that was with the two of you, just the two of you together. And people are warning us about empty nest and all of this stuff, and I will tell you this, you know, Tabitha, of course, she was the last one to get married. Where's Tabby at? And I did the wedding. And I was so proud of myself. I sat up here and I kept everything together and I didn't get emotional. And, you know, as a pastor, you got to put things in compartments and you just got to get through it. And I wanted to make it nice for them. And so then we went out to the rehearsal and they started doing this thing. I can't remember what game they were playing, something about trying to get you all to kiss. And I walked out of the building. I wasn't going to watch that garbage. And then Tabitha and AJ was downstairs. She was getting ready. They were getting ready to get in the car and leave. And somebody come and found me. And Tab and AJ's downstairs. They want to say goodbye to you. And oh my goodness, I'm going to tell you folks, I did not do that well. Were you down there? My wife was down there. Oh my goodness. I don't know who else. Was there anybody else? Hopefully it was just us. I did not do that well. Brother Hoxie, I bawled like a baby. And I'm holding on to this is my baby. This is the last one. And I'm holding on to her and I'm crying and sob. I mean, I don't too many times in my life have gotten uncontrollable, like lucid sobbing. And as I'm doing it, AJ's just kind of sitting there like, you know. And I think he's thinking, is he going to change his mind? Is he not going to let me have her, you know? So finally, you know, I get done doing all of that, and I look at him and say, you take care of her. Yes, yes, sir. Yes, sir. He's probably thinking as he's driving away, that man's a psychopath, man. Good thing we're going clear to California, you know. So I didn't do it real well. I didn't do that last goodbye real well. Then I got home, and I'm still a little upset, and then all of a sudden I settled down, and I kind of look around. I wipe the last tear, and I look over, and it's me and my wife, and all the kids are gone. And then I went, yes! Yes! Man, we were glad to see him come. We were glad to see him go. Amen? So now, you're not going to have that if you don't invest in each other. Okay? Kids take a lot of your time and take a lot of your efforts. Moms, come on. I've heard mom say, the most important thing in my life are my children. Well, you can get to an altar and get right with God on that. Amen. It's not the most important, ought not be the most important thing in your life. First of all, God ought to be the most important. Second most important relationship in your life is with your husband, not your children. And you go ahead, throw your life into your children and ignore your husband for all those years, and then they're going to leave and you're going to be married to a stranger. Now, I'm not saying it's easy. Look right up here. Have I made that clear? You're going to be purposeful to do this. And I want to give you some things that will help you to be able to do that. First thing you need to do is learn a Greek word. It's called, the Greek word is babysitter, okay? Babysitter, it's a Greek word. On a regular basis, you should schedule some time together as a couple. You know, that word cleave is really an interesting word because it's a verb, folks, leave and cleave, okay? And that cleaving is an active verb. It's an action word. It's talking about pursuing. It's talking about fastening yourself upon to another. It involves action and effort. And this matter of staying cleaved together is not something you just do because it happens just because you said a few words at a altar. It's something you have to continually do to keep that relationship sweet and important in your life. And so, you know what? Schedule some time away. Now, I have sometimes parents that just make announcements, and I'm not going to live your life for you. And if you said this, I don't think I've heard anybody in here say it. If I did, I've forgotten. I don't know what I had for breakfast, so you're all fine, okay? You know, well, it's just silly to make up rules and then have to live by them because of stubbornness. Well, we just don't leave our kids with anybody but us. Okay, well, how's your marriage? By the way, you might want to ask your wife how the marriage is. Right. Ask her whether she'd like to have some just one-on-one time, alone time. Right. I mean, you know, don't just make silly things like that. Now you've made the rule and you're not. Well, listen, I think in today's culture, look right up here. I think you better be very careful who you leave your kids with. Yes. Are you hearing me? But at the same time, it doesn't mean that there aren't, come on, some young ladies that wouldn't mind earning, teenage girls around here wouldn't mind earning a little extra money that I think would be very capable. And there's family. Some of you are blessed to have family in the area. Some of you aren't. But there's always family. But hey, sir, figure it out. Figure it out. Okay, because listen, if you never have that one-on-one time, if you never have those occasional dates, if you don't have an occasional weekend where you can get away together, you know what? You need that in your marriage. You need that in your marriage, okay? And so kids are temporary, but spouses are permanent. Learn an important Greek word, the word babysitter, and on purpose. I'll talk to you about your calendars. I know your pastor's never brought up the subject of calendars before. We're going to get to that a little bit later on, okay? Now, children. Well, let's stay with children. I'm not going to try to teach an entire session on child rearing here because that's a separate subject. But I want to talk about child rearing as it affects your marriage, okay? So now, let's talk about children, all right? One of the most important things to keep your marriage right is this. You need, as a husband and wife, to be like-minded in the rearing of your children. You need to be like-minded in the rearing of your children. Now, well, you say, well, I'd like to accomplish that. If he would just stop thinking the way he does and start thinking the way I do, then we could be like-minded. Or you've got a husband that would say, yeah, we need to be like-minded. So if she would stop thinking about child rearing the way she does and start thinking about it the way I do, now how do we get like-minded? How do we get on the same page when it comes to this? It's not a matter, ma'am, of you thinking like him or him thinking like you. It's a matter of both of you thinking like the Bible. Thinking like the Bible, okay? The unity of mind is properly achieved when both husband and wife decide to follow Bible-based principles in child rearing. Ephesians chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, folks, that ought to just settle something between a husband and wife. Do you believe the Bible or you don't believe the Bible? Do you believe in Bible-based principles when it comes to child rearing or don't you? Then both of you ought to be able to agree on this. Our children need to obey us. Amen. Now, this is not deep stuff, isn't it? I mean, but you'd be surprised how many times in a marriage you've got one or the other. Sometimes mom's the stricter one. Sometimes dad's the stricter one. And how many parents just honestly will defend their child for direct disobedience? Yeah. Ma'am, if your child disobeys your husband, that ought to be a big deal. Yeah. Come on. And you shouldn't be a helicopter mom over there. Come on, trying to make excuses for him.
Right. Amen.
Okay. Sir, if your child directly disobeys their mother, that ought to be a big deal. Everything ought to come to a screeching halt at that moment. Because if you let it go and let it go and let it go, guess what? They're going to be, listen, what's the big deal, preacher? If they won't obey their parents, one of these days they won't obey the Lord. Okay? Rebellion, come on, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And some child that just thinks that, listen, have you got a child that just really walks around thinking they don't have to listen to mom, they don't have to listen to dad? Okay, you need to get that out of them, and you need to do it on a united front. Be like-minded in the rearing of your children. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Listen to this promise that's connected to it, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. You know, I think most of us, if you love your children, you'd want them to have a life where it is well with them. You would want them to have a life where they can have an extended life and a good time on this earth. Then, Dad, you ought to be training them to honor their mother. And moms, you ought to be training them to honor their father. What's that called? Listen, that's called being like-minded. How do you get each other on the same page? Well, I just think this is the way to raise children, and he thinks this is the way. Well, what's God say?
Right.
Why don't both of you get on the same page?
Right.
Now, folks, I can't go through all of the verses, but, you know, you ought to, every single parent ought to seek out every single verse on child rearing, all of the verses on child rearing, the ones that make some of you uncomfortable. And you ought to decide, are we going to use Bible-based principles when it comes to rearing our children, or are we not? Okay? Are we going to, you know, give into the culture, give into what people think is acceptable in nowadays? You know, go on some chat room, somebody's blog that gives anti-biblical principles when it comes to child rearing. Now, folks, think about this. Does any of these verses make you a little nervous? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You realize if you're going to raise children, you've got to train them. Train them up. Train them up. Train them up. How about this, fathers? This is a good father verse. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know, again, I can't teach an entire child. We're talking about marriage. But, you know, sir, you need to understand how to nurture your children. Dads, that's a verse to us. Do you understand how to nurture your children? Do you know how to understand how to bring them up in the admonition of the Lord? And, sir, come on, you can't just pawn that off on mom. It's her job. That verse is for us. Okay? Find out what these words mean. Study them out. Write them out. And let's live up to them. How about this, Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother shame. Yep. Rod and reproof.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, but Dr. Phil says, I don't care what Dr. Phil says. But Oprah, Oprah's the moral example to us all. Okay, she's lived in adultery. She's a fornicator. And you want to take marital advice from her? I like it when it gets quiet like that. Reproof, that's verbal. Okay, God corrects us with his word before he hits the lightning button. But he will hit the lightning button. Okay, the rod and reproof. Okay, what does that mean? I'm thankful that God reproves me, first of all, verbally. But if I keep ignoring him, he's going to chastise me. And by the way, the Bible says he does it because he's a good father. Okay. Now, mama, when that needs to happen, how are you doing? Where are you at? Okay. You over there hovering again, making excuses for them? In there feeling sorry for them? Okay. I'm talking about parents getting on the same page. Here's the pages you want to find out. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. No, that's your child. That's all children. Every child has foolishness, born with foolishness bound in their heart. Okay, so how do you get that out? But the rod of correction shall drive it far from them. I don't understand Christian parents walk around. By the way, if you're going to give advice on child rearing to another mother in this church, make sure it's biblical advice. If you can't put a verse beside it, then don't give it. Okay? It's amazing how people... Listen, foolishness. Think about it. What is foolishness? Okay? He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man. He that heareth these sayings and doeth them not, I will liken him to a foolish man. You know... Wisdom is hearing the instruction of the Lord and obeying it.
Yes, sir.
Foolishness is hearing the instruction of the Lord and disobeying it.
Yes, sir. You named it.
This is not complicated.
No.
Look at every parent ought to do this. You ought to take the word fool and foolishness, and you ought to study every single verse in the book of Proverbs so that you can recognize foolish behavior. And by the way, it's bound in the heart of every child. You know why? For all of sin comes short of the glory of God. It's the Adamic nature that has been passed down from Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden. It's bound in the heart of a child. Okay, so, all right, this is where I usually get in trouble, but I like going here, so I'm going to go here. Well, I don't know if I agree with these verses about, you know, rod of correction and reproof and the rod and all of that. Oh, so you hear, you're hearing what the Bible says, but you don't want to obey it. I guess foolishness isn't just bound in the heart of a child. Sometimes it's bound in the heart of an adult who probably didn't get their little rear end spanked enough when they were a little child. And so they think since they got away with murder and they didn't have to obey and they grew up with this rebellious attitude, that that's how they should raise their children. Now, again, I just want to ask you a question. Do you want to have a Bible-based marriage? Do you want to raise your children according to the Word of God? Or are you smarter than the Bible? Because I can go out here and show you a mess that we have in the culture and in society. Okay? I can show you a mess. You know why? Because if you go out there and look, the average young person is a fool. And I'm just not calling them that. I'm basing that evaluation on the characteristic traits. The book of Proverbs will give you a list of things that fools do, and it'll also describe how they talk. If I read you those lists right now, you say, why don't you? Because some of you need to go home and do some studying. It's not going to mean as much if you don't do the work yourself. But there's certain things that the book of Proverbs says, if they do this, they are exhibiting foolishness. Reprove first. Hey, come here. Get their attention right here. Right here. Time out. The whole world stops. Okay. Preacher, this sounds like a lot of work. It's a lot of work to raise wise kids. It's a lot of work to raise kids according to the Bible. The whole world stops. Time out. What? What did you just do? Or what did you just say? Say, preacher, you know what the actions of a fool are? Yep. Do you know how they, what their words are, how they, yep. I know it in kids and I know it in adults.
Amen. Sure.
And what we need to do is get back to the Bible and realize this whole idea of foolishness is a big deal. You're going to raise a fool? Okay, then you ought to also study while you're studying the fool in the book of Proverbs. You might want to write down the list of the consequences of being a fool and then look at those consequences and ask yourself a question. Do I want those to be the things that come into my child's life because I wouldn't get foolishness out of them when they were a child? Because, you see, God's going to be a good father, whether we are or not. He's going to do the right thing. Now, what's all this big speech about, preacher? You'd be surprised how many marriage problems comes down to the children and a complete difference of philosophy on how the children ought to be raised.
Amen.
And you got a wife over here wanting him to change his mind. You got a husband over here wanting. I just want you to go to the Bible.
Amen.
And follow the Word of God.
Right.
And if you'll do that, it will work. If you'll do it, it will work. Okay? So, let me give you one more. We'll be done. We're talking about children. Children are temporary. Your spouse is permanent. And you need to learn an important Greek word, babysitter, because you need to spend some regular time together as a couple and keep that relationship good while you're raising the children, who will one day leave and cleave. Now, you need to be like-minded in the rearing of your children. And then this one, number next, whatever it is. Present a united front when correcting your children. Present a united front when correcting your children. Are you in Proverbs? I don't know where we're at. Let's go to Proverbs. I'm going to show you two verses. Proverbs chapter number one. Proverbs chapter 1, look if you will in verse number 8. My son, all right, so this is the instructions being given to a son. Hear, Proverbs 1:8, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. So think about that, folks. Hear the instruction of thy father. This is a child. This is what the Word of God's instructing the child to do, is to hear the instruction of his father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Hey, it'd sure be good if both those things were the same.
Yes. Right.
Hey, let me just ask you a question. How's a kid supposed to obey this Bible verse if mom and dad's on two different pages telling them two different things? Look, if you will, in chapter 6, if you will, Proverbs chapter 6, and look at verse number 20. Proverbs 6:20, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Now, this is one of the reasons that you need to be like-minded in the rearing of your children, because there's going to be times, now this is going to shock you parents. None of you have ever had to deal with this before, but children will sometimes try to use one parent against the other. I'm talking about in other families outside of this church. Sometimes they'll try to drive a wedge between the two of you. Present a united front when correcting your children. The instruction of the father ought to be the same as the law of the mother. How can the child obey? Come on, follow the instruction of the father and not forsake the law of the mother if they're not on the same page. Right. My son, keep thy father's command. The father's commandment should match up with the law of the mother. And so, listen, when you've got two different sets of rules going on, then you've got problems in the home and you've got confusion in the children. Okay? Now, all right, so when they are going to present a united front, you need to present a united front when correcting the children. That means that you need to be on the same page. If you both understand what the Bible says about foolishness, you both should be able to identify when it's happening. If you both understand what fools say and how they talk, you ought to be able to pick up on it. You ought to be both on the same page. It shouldn't be somebody, one of them making excuses for it, saying it's okay. And, well, that's just kids being kids.
Yeah.
No, it's sinners being sinners. Yeah. It's a fool being a fool.
Yes.
Are you going to let them keep being a fool?
Right.
Because you're making excuses for them, or are you going to change their behavior?
Right.
Okay. So present a united front when correcting your children. I know this has been real instructional, but and this is the way it was in my house, and I think most of us were raised this way, okay? But come on, as a kid, did you ever like go ask your mom something and she say no? And then you thought you would just wait until she was in the other room and then go over and ask your dad the exact same thing and have him say yes? Have you ever pulled that off? I actually have pulled that off successfully once in my entire. But hey, I've got that one win. Don't take that from me. I've got that one win. One time in my life, I actually pulled that off and thought I had just gotten away with a man alive. And I don't even remember what I asked my mom. I think I wanted cookies or something. And she said no, so I waited till she was out in the yard, and I went and asked Dad, and he said, "Yeah, sure, bring me some too." You know, come on, you know. I mean, who cares if it's 30 minutes before supper? We don't know what time it is, you know. So I'm hungry, so yeah, go get one. So Mom comes back in, and I'm sitting there eating these cookies. She just told me I couldn't have, but I think I've got the trump card on her, because wives are to be submissive to their husbands. And my daddy said, I think I forgot to read the verse about children, obey your parents in the Lord. You know, it's amazing what verses we want when we need them, you know. And I walked in and my mom's looking at me and said, "What did I tell you about that?" Well, I asked Dad and he said I could have them. And then Mom left the room and went in and talked to Dad. And then they both came in together. I still kind of feel it. I still kind of feel it, honestly. Let's just say I never tried that again. Now, listen to me, all right? Listen, get on the same page, Mom and Dad. I mean, in a practical sense, come on, sometimes you're not even going to maybe agree 100%. But you know what? Those children need to see a united front. Okay? So in front of the children, you're united. I often say, if a mother initiates the discipline, Dad, if you think you'd have done something differently, be quiet. Let her do it. if you really have an issue with it, you can always talk about it in the bedroom later, but that child needs to see a united front.
Right.
Moms, maybe you see dad, and he's taking the lead, the worst thing in the world. I'm telling you, kids are so confused.
Right.
And they learn to use it against the other parent.
Right.
And every time a dad steps in, here's a mom coming in and making excuses and hovering, and probably because she had a mother
right. When
she was a little girl, that any time dad was trying to get foolishness out of her, mother hovered. But that's not the way it always is. Sometimes mom is a strict disciplinarian, dad's making excuses for her. Listen, that kid needs to have mom and dad on the same page.
Right.
What page? This page.
Amen.
Well, preacher, you know, it's not always cut and dry. All right. If one parent is disciplining them, then you back that parent. If it really is something you need to talk about later on, talk about later on. But come on. Listen, here's the thing, folks. I'd rather a kid get in a little more trouble than a little less trouble.
Right.
You know, this whole idea of, well, you know, they were raised in a strict home, and because they were raised in a strict home, they rebelled. Folks, rules do not create rebellion. Rules reveal rebellion.
Right.
Rules do not create rebellion. Rules reveal rebellion. Post that on your Facebook account. Put that on your little Instagram.
Amen.
Okay? I'm sick and tired of a bunch of rebels out there blaming their dad for not going to church and not living for God. And the honest truth is they had a mama that was undermining the dad's authority in the home. Or vice versa. What are we talking about here, preacher? I'm talking about this thing of marriage. Man alive, you meet, go through the courtship, have the honeymoon. You know, get married, have the honeymoon, and then it's just the two of you, and life's pretty easy. And then these things called children come along. And preacher said, have them. Why? Because not everyone should be happy. Have them. You have to earn the empty nest. Love them kids, raise them for God. But you better remember, it's a big responsibility. And they have a sin nature. And foolishness is there. And the Bible has the answer. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us. Lord, bless our young couples. Watch over them, protect the marriages. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would help us to get back to the Bible. Lord, it just seems like lately I've just pleaded with people. Get into the book. What's the Bible say? The Bible has the answer. The Bible has the answer. And Lord, it does. I suppose if the God of the universe was going to see to it that we had a divine book inspired, I suppose that it would contain what we need in it to have a good marriage. And it would contain what we need in it to know how to raise children, to be godly. And I pray, Lord, that we just get back to the Bible. Lord, help us to read it and learn it and live it. Help us to stop trying to explain it away or change the meaning of it or leave out some verses that just make us uncomfortable. May we just get back, Lord, in this crazy, upside-down, wicked culture. Children can still be raised to serve the Lord. They can still be raised to be obedient. They can still be raised to honor their mom and dad. They can still be raised to know right for wrong, to be respectful and have manners, and to work hard and do right. Bless these parents, dear God. Big job ahead of them. Just pray that you'd bless them in Jesus' name.